Pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, we are excited to be in your house today. We're excited to make it to this day of worship, where we can decide and hear again that you have called us by your grace to be changed, to be held, and to make it through. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to just go ahead and give that confession to your neighbor. We will make it. Go ahead and tell them that. Come on. We will. Oh, that was weak. Come on, tell them. See, y'all don't believe it. I mean, y'all have had a whirlwind of a week. Woo! Thank God it's Sunday. So let's hear what's going to hold up, all right? It's interesting to me that God has laid us in a 316 series. And today we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter... Y'all a sharp bunch in here, I'm telling you. Let's get it. Verse, you got to go there with me. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now let's look at what we've already learned. We've learned that we've been baptized by the power of the Spirit. God's Spirit is in you. You have been changed. You have been rebirthed. You're not what you used to be. So if you're not what you used to be and you have changed direction, let me remind you of this, you've changed destiny. Remember? So you're not going to live here forever, okay? Just go ahead and tell your folks that. Come on, talk among yourselves just a minute. You're not going to live here forever. Y'all going to be sleepy on me, aren't you? You went to the game, ate too much last night. I want us to really focus on this. Listen, we're going to talk about foundations today. We're going to talk about what's built in you. We're going to talk about what's going to hold up. And you got to decide. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then guess what? You are headed to heaven. That's a fact. Now, I want you to know that if you hold to that message, the intellectuals of this world are going to consider you foolish. And when we go to 1 Corinthians, we actually enter, you could just call 1 Corinthians First Hillview. It was a place where Jesus opened up the doors to everybody. And they came from everywhere, and they had been in to all sorts of things. Sound familiar? In fact, if we had testimony time in Hillview, it would scare most of you to know who you worship with. In fact, Doc, you were warned about this church, weren't you? Doc was in his office, and a lady came up to him, and he said, "Well, I'm worshiping at Hillview." And she goes, "You be careful. They'll take anybody over there." And the reason we'll take anybody, you know why? Because I believe God wants to save everybody. So if you believe God wants to save everybody, this is a message for anybody. Now, some of you in here, guess what? Jesus Christ is in your life and you're destined to heaven. Some of you in here are thinking about that. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I would hurry up and decide. Because we're fixing to hit some wobbly times. Now, I want you to hear me clearly today. Don't panic. Don't panic. Now, I know some of you saying, "Pastor Steve, you don't know how much money I've lost this week." Are you still breathing? You're in good shape. You're still a possibility. How many of you all ate something this morning? How many of y'all ate too much this morning? See, we ain't in a recession yet. How many of y'all slept last night? How many of y'all even turned some form of air conditioning on, whether it be heat or cold, according to your preference? Huh. Guess what? Guys, I'm not good. I'm very straight up. Are we going through some difficult times? Yeah. But there's a reason we're going through some difficult times. We violated God's principles. Now, I'm going to tell you, watch, here's a proverbial principle out of the Proverbs. The debtor will be subject to the lender. The debtor will be subject to the lender. That doesn't matter if it's individual, if it's personal, if it's small community, or if it's governmental. Eventually, the debtor will become subject to the what? Lender. Now, I want to tell you, how many of y'all have ever used money in a stupid way? I want to confess, I'm part of that problem. Now you notice the hands that didn't go up, go talk to them. Those are wise people. I asked that question at 8 o'clock, and I look back in the corner. My dad sits back in the corner. I was going to see if he's going to raise his hand. He didn't raise his hand. You know why? Because that's true. If I'd have listened to him, I'd have been all right. You know what he said? He said, you need to go in debt for one thing. You'll need to get a house someday. I said, what about a car? He said, you can buy one that runs. He said, a car is an instrument to go from A to B. I said, no, no, Daddy, you don't understand. You'll ride. Is a part of the expression of who you are. And so I needed to make sure mine went fast. And what my dad never understood, you got to have tunes in your car. You know, I had to have my Jensen 6x9s with my radio, I'm old, with my Radio Shack 100-watt equalizer. Blasting ZZ Top, she got legs going down the road. See what I'm saying? I had to. Now, let me ask you a question. Was that a need? No. If I listened to my daddy, I'd have been all right. But I didn't listen to my daddy. Guess what I did? I violated a biblical principle. I left some foundational principles, and it got me in trouble. Now, Jeff and Kay were very confessional in their testimony. They started looking at what they wanted instead of what God said they needed. And I want you all to hear me. We got to get an understanding of this. The economic problem in the United States of America is us. We had spent beyond our means. I did it. I'm a child of the '80s. Some of you all are a child of the '80s, man. You know, big hair, big cars, and big credit cards. Hello? Any of y'all go there? I did when I was 18 years old. And then I went to college, and then a year later in college, guess what? They sent me a Visa card. And I started out, I just got me a Visa, just a regular old Visa. Then I got married, and guess what they sent me? We didn't have platinum yet. It's old. Visa Gold. And then guess what I found out? I'd get these water ski magazines, and you could call them up on the phone, 1-800. They had a 1-800 number. They didn't even charge you for the call. And you could give them the number of the item and then your credit card number, and they sent you new stuff the next day. I was like, what a great country we live in. I had a blast that summer. But all hell came in the fall. And Elizabeth said, honey, and we'd be in a fight all the time, and our marriage was in a wad all the time, and we were always tense with one another. And you know why? Because we were violating a foundational principle of the Word of God. The debtor will be subject to the lender. So every morning I had to wake up and think about Citibank. I don't want to get up and think about the bank. I want to get up and think about the Lord. Now, here's what I want you all to grip this today. If you stay with the principles that are foundational, you will be unshakable. If you stay with the principles that, guess what, are foundational, your life will be unshakable. Now, does that mean you're going to go through some hard times? Yes. How many of y'all been through some hard times? How many of y'all married? It began there. As soon as you said, I do, there was some tension in your life, right? Because you could no longer do as you please. Come on, let's be honest about it. The reason people ask me all the time, how come you talk like that about marriage? Because I said, we got some people here considering it. And I want them to know honestly what they're getting into. And married people always laugh. They go, man, brother, telling the truth. He is telling the truth. Now, here's the truth. Nothing will bless you like Jesus. What do you think? Nothing will stay in your life like Jesus. Now, here's the problem in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. These Corinthians started worshiping those who were presenting instead of the foundational truth. First part of the chapter says, well, I am from Apollos and I am from Paul. And Paul says, none of that matters. Now, point, I want you to be warned. No person will save your life. Number two, I want you to hear me clearly. No government will save you either. I want to tell you what, we're in a dangerous spot in America right now. We're in a dangerous spot. I'm not being political right now. I'm being prophetic. when we as a people trust the government to be our Savior, we have left the foundation. Now, the government can guide us, but it cannot save us. There are no messiahs in the government. There are no saviors in the government. And Jesus doesn't run the government. He gets in our lives. Does that make sense? Same problem. Well, I follow this and I follow that and I follow this. No, if you have allowed Jesus Christ to come in your life, forgive you all of your sins, you have been saved by the true Messiah. His name is what? Tell me who his name is. Who? By that name all will be saved. Now I want you to hear me clearly. These are going to be difficult times. Your pastor will not line up next to a practitioner of Islam or Hindu or Buddhism and say that all faith systems are equal. It's just never going to happen, boys and girls. And you say, well, I need a church that's more diverse and open. That'll never be Hillview. Because we're on the foundation today. And the foundation is there is a cross that came from Jesus. There's a grace that you just sung about. There's a darling in heaven who was crucified. There is a way that is foolishness to the wisdom of this world, but is an absolute foundation in the spiritual realm. I want you to know if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're headed to heaven. I lost money this week. Any of y'all lose money this week? Guess what? Jesus hadn't changed his mind about your salvation. And that's the foundation of what we live by. Amen? You might want to take my price. I have not looked at my annuity, my 401k, and I'm not going to. Because guess what? It has gone to hell, and only Jesus can save it. So I'm going to focus on Jesus. Amen? Watch this. How many of y'all glad to know he said we will be here in the end, and he will be here with us. There's some things you got to decide you believe. Do you believe and do you know that you have sinned and fallen short of what God made you to be? How many of y'all came to that conclusion? Yeah, you had a Britney Spears moment. Whoops, I did it again. I got a pattern in my life. I got negative patterns in my life. I got patterns in my life that aren't any good. I got patterns in my life that are just, I mean, they are damning patterns. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you to forgive me so that I might live beyond the wisdom of this world. See, they were getting trapped. Oh, Apollos said this and Paul said this. And then Paul speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's about the foundation. Now, church, I want to call you to foundational principles. Look at this. Verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Now, here's what I want you to know. I believe there's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. What do you all believe? If you're going to believe the Scripture, the foundation is who? Jesus. Now, hold on. We got a responsibility. We have a task. And that is to bless one another as the people of God. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've become more thankful lately. How many of y'all become more thankful lately? You better wake up and be thankful, folks. I'm telling you. You know what? When I went to Costa Rica, we had a day in Costa Rica, and I had all these beautiful Costa Rican brothers and sisters, and they were telling me, you won't believe what we're having for supper. And they just kept talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Man, I was picturing prime rib. I had a whole different picture of what a fabulous supper is than they did. So when we came to this fabulous supper, we had rice. I had seen that in Costa Rica. We had black beans. I had seen that in Costa Rica. But we had topped it off with chopped hot dogs. And I had all these Costa Ricans. They were like, oh, isn't this great and marvelous and Moreno and Muy Rico? And I'm going, yeah! Because for lunch we just had beans and rice. When you put some hot dogs on that stuff, that lights it up. But guess what I realized? I was missing life because I was with a group of people that could celebrate a hot dog. And I expected it. I realized that my life had become so far immersed in this world, if it wasn't a good steak, I couldn't even celebrate. And I was with a group of people that could celebrate a hot dog and then sit on the front porch, man, and just talk about the wonders of life. And I said, wait a minute, somewhere down the line, I've left the foundation. The foundation is Christ. I'm going to tell you what, be appreciative of what God's given you in your life. And we're not appreciative. And so I want to call our church to one thing. We need to be thankful for what we have. And somebody come up and tell me, said, man, my daughter works in the financial world and she's been cussed all week and everything else. And I said, well, you know, I said, I would encourage her to give these words to these people. How many of them were thankful when it was going up? I didn't hear anybody giving praise to God on the increase. Did you? I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your prosperity. God, I'm going to use it to further your kingdom. I didn't hear that. But boy, God sure gets the blame when it all comes down. You see, it's time for us to be appreciative. So there's some things we got to embrace that are foundational. One of them is we got to worship. Because here's what you're going to hear all week long. What's it going to be? Bad news. I mean, if you listen to the media, we're going to hell. We've already been there. We're having the greater depression of all depressions. They were projecting that gas would be $17.50 a gallon by this time. That's what they were saying in January. $3.09, thank God. How many of y'all gave him praise? If you drove what I do, you'd give him praise. I said, God, I give you praise. I've lost all my money, but at least I can put some gas in the tank. Hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. We don't give him praise for what we have. How many of you parents wake up instead of saying, man, my kids won't do this? How many of y'all ever praise them that they're alive, they're healthy, they're capable, and there's God's potential right there in front of you? Changes the way you live if you give him praise. So we got to worship. Now you got to know what he said or you'll be led astray by what they say. They don't con me. They don't con me. In fact, in the news, I just went crazy. I watched that debate the other day, and I was throwing socks at the TV and everything else. And then finally, I looked at Elizabeth, and I said, I tell you what, I just never in my life, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, nobody says anything. And then the man I wanted for president came on. He said, hello, I'm Two Boone Pickens. Let's talk about it. I said, why do we elect him? There's a good president. Couldn't you see T. Boone, somebody act up in another country? I'm going to shoot you. You understand that? I believe we can negotiate. Hello, I'm T. Boone Pickens. It's kind of like John Wayne's come back for a moment. John Wayne with a windmill. I mean, it's a whole new concept. But you know what? I knew T. Boone Pickens. He'd never run in politics because he probably hit somebody in the seventh grade and they'll have that on the news and how he's an immoral man. If he hit somebody in the seventh grade, he's won my vote even that much more. At least he'll stand for something and stand up for something. At least he'll give it some energy. Yeah? Watch this. I'm going to tell you what. We're being led astray because we're trying to please the people. Now, I know this isn't taught anymore in our public schools. It's a rare little thing, but you can still get these books at the public library. It's called history. And as you read history, it's interesting. I'm a student of history because all historical moments verify the foundational principles of Jesus Christ. And here's what's cool about your life. Some of you young people, y'all hang around, okay? Because one day you'll be old and you'll be able to make this confession too. The longer I live, I find that what the Bible has said, what Jesus has said, is absolutely true. How many of y'all found that to be? But you had to journey a little bit to come to the what? Foundation. How many of y'all did this as parents? You started saying stuff your parents said. Come on. Coach Hayes, did you do that? Did you ever have a moment when you was 15, you big old 15-year-old boy, and you said, you looked at your daddy and said, I'll never talk like that to my kid. Did you think that in your mind? Boy, I did that in my mind. I thought my dad would be getting on me. I said, man, I tell you what, when I have kids, I'll never say anything like that. I've been verbatim. And I'm glad I had, because I'm very fortunate. I'm a very fortunate human being. Not all of you all got this fortune. Here was my fortune. I had parents who laid a foundation in my life. And they worked on that foundation. Now, hold on. Parents, you got a job. Lay a foundation. Your kids ought to know about Jesus Christ. They ought to be at church. I'm going to tell you right now. If you all lay the only foundation the kids have, your children have, is the public schools and what's going on in this world, they will be blown around like a tumbleweed in the wind because they don't have anything to anchor to. We can anchor to Jesus. Because watch this. You better decide what you're going to build on. I'm going to give you a principle. He said, I've laid a foundation. There is no other foundation. Here's a hallmark of those who follow Jesus Christ. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we have a fundamental belief. We believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. We believe that only Jesus can forgive your sins. We believe that being a good person does not get you to heaven. We believe you must have an encounter with the divine God who will forgive you of all your sins and raise you up to another life. That is the confession of a follower. Amen? That's the foundation. There is no other way. Foundation. Now you say, well, what in the world is my job, Pastor? Your job and my job is to build upon the what? Foundation. How many of you are glad you saved? Though, here's the worst thing that could happen to you. What would it be? Come on. Go ahead and say the big word. Die. Good. I just want y'all to know that. See, that's why when somebody puts a gun in your face, you get nervous. You know, I've often wondered if somebody pointed a gun at me, what would I do? I got two choices. Because I can look at the sucker and say, hey, listen, you're going to shoot me, and I'm going to die and go to heaven. However, there's one other possibility. I'm going to take that gun out of your hand and shoot you. Where will you be? If we're going to come down to a life and death moment, the foundation is important. Here's why people are scared to death. They don't believe. You see, a Mickey Mouse church faith won't get you to a moment of death. Charlotte, you've gone through this, baby, but guess what? Can you imagine going through death without Jesus? Charlotte didn't lose her husband. He went on to heaven. You don't when we're believers, we don't lose. We depart for a moment, but we don't what? Lose. Now, there's a sense of loss, and that's real. But the foundation is we'll see each other again. I mean, this is positive stuff. Now, when times get tough, you better have a solid foundation. In fact, in houses, how many of y'all have ever had to go look for a house? How many of y'all ever had to go look for a house? How many of y'all been through that nightmare? How many of you all crawled under the house and checked the foundation? Other than you, Richard, because you're an engineer, and yes, I believe Richard's going, well, I did, I'm sure. Elizabeth, the houses we looked at, how many foundations did we check? None. Guess what we looked at? Besides the payment. The paint. Yeah. I did measure the garage, see if a boat would fit. That was important. You know, we look at the paint. We look at the room. We look at how does this move and how, what's this? None of that works if it doesn't have a solid what? You know, as we've been building this building, everybody said, man, this thing may be going a little bit slow. I said, I don't know. It looks like they're working on the foundation. We went through 2 weeks here, and this is what we heard at church. Da, 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 da. I thought Sunday morning I was going to stand up and preach. Da, 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 da. What were they doing? Securing the foundation, because if the foundation is not secure, the rest of the building is void. So in your life, if your foundation is not in Jesus Christ, hold on, I'm going to preach, then what happens at the end? Nothing. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, you better build some good principles in your life. And it's time to pick up those good principles. We're going to care for one another at Hillview. I'm not scared. Are y'all scared? I'm not scared. ABC scared. CBS is scared. NBC scared. And the reason they're scared is because they're making money out of making you scared. So when you hear them, just go, Jesus Christ said he'll be there in the end. What does that do to the news? If you'll filter all news through your foundation, the news will change. People have been asking me, preacher, is this the end? I go, could be. They go, do you know anything about, you know, when he's coming back? I said, yeah, he's coming back. I said, the only reason you're scared is because you're not living with him now. I know how you do. Y'all want to know when test day is. True? Because you want to cram the night before to pass the test. Well, this test is totally different. It's what you build upon. Now let's look quickly. Build with solid things. Look at here. He said, we got to build, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I just want to remind you, I want you to be careful. In our nation right now, we're entering a politically incorrect stance according to the standards of the world. And if you read on there in chapter 3, it'll talk about that the wisdom of the world seems wise and the cross seems very foolish. We're in that era for sure. We've been in it before in history. And right now, it's not popular to say this. I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because guess what? Guess why that alarms people?
So you're saying if I don't follow Jesus, then hell awaits me.
Yeah. Everybody wants to break out kung fu fighting. Ah! Somebody the other day said, Pastor Ayers, you're a religious bigot. I said, I may be, but I'm one headed to heaven. And I said, you're one big Barney heading to hell. You can't change the word of God just because it doesn't fit the society. You can't change it. And see, the reason it whacks everybody out today is because we've negotiated everything. Young people, I love you all, but I want you to hear from your pastor. I want you to know the truth. There is a consequence for your actions. And I want to apologize on the behalf of my generation and the developers of our generation for being a generation of outright liars. We've tried to tell you all that your actions don't have to have consequences. That's a lie. They got consequences. That's the only way you could run a subprime scam anyway. It's because you had to get a group of people that never think there's a what? Consequence. Why is everybody alarmed this week? There's a what? I'm going to show you why. There's answers to these problems. You know, it's like everybody in Washington is going, it's the Republicans' fault. It's the Democrats' fault. You know, it's Captain Kangaroo's fault. If he hadn't have died so soon, everything would have been all right. If we'd have never taken Bozo the Clown off the air, everything would have been good. Now, I'll tell you whose fault it is. Our fault. For not staying in the principles. And saying, wait a minute, God. I want to live the way you've called me to live, even when it's not popular. And we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to Jesus up to the podium here. When you take a stand for Jesus Christ, people will talk about you. Amen? But hold on, I want you to build with some precious things. Look what he says. This is going to be your building material. Verse 12. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. There's that fire again. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. What does that tell you? There's a consequence. So I want you to build healthy lives. Now, what do you need to build with? Gold? Watch this. Gold, silver, and precious stones. What do they do when you put them in a fire? But hold on. Purified. See, if you live in a life in Jesus Christ, man, you go through life, what's happening to your life? Man, the shaking of life will allow the Holy Spirit to purify your mind, your heart, and your destiny. Fire purifies. Silver, anybody knows what happens when silver goes through the fire? Pretty cool stuff. It gets stronger. So you know what I'm excited about? Guess what? Our church will get what? Stronger. How many of y'all are thinking a little more now than you used to? Students, I want you to know you got a great hope. I don't want our college students to be wiped out. Okay? Just be careful with the news. Okay? Because here's the thing. You got good news in you. So if you have good news in you, you better apply that to the current news. And say, wait a minute. I'm going to build. The best piece of advice I got when I left high school is I said, you know, there were fields of service and work filling up. And my father told me this. He said, no matter what they say, there's always room for a good one. There's always room for a good doctor. There's always room for a good nurse. There's always room for a good accountant. There's always room for somebody. Sheriff, there's always room for a good law enforcement agent, isn't there? I mean, there ain't no room for a new sheriff yet, but there's room for deputies. Amen. But a good one, If you found a good one, you'd pick them up, wouldn't you? See, it's true. It's a principle. There's always room for a what? A good one. Someone in the foundation. So don't give up hope, young man. You know what I'm talking about? Don't listen to all these crazy people. They say it's over. I say it may just be beginning. Some of y'all looking, Pastor, how can you talk so crazy? The foolishness of the cross confounds the wisdom of the world. So here's my foundation. They said Jesus was dead. When they took him off the cross and they laid him in a barred tomb, that should have been their clue right there. Did Jesus go through the fire? You better believe it. And he came through pure like gold, strong like silver, and unresolved like precious stones. Put a diamond in the fire, what happens to the diamond? Still there. And you know why? You've heard the commercial at Christmas. Especially
all you men. Did you hear all the ladies right?
Diamonds are forever. And if you go buy a big one, you'll forever be in debt. Why do they cost a lot? Hold on, why do they cost a lot? Why do precious stones cost a lot of money? Because they're precious. Guess what you cost? The death of God. That's how precious you are. God so loved you that he sent his only son. John 3. God so loved you that he would baptize you with fire and spirit so that you might be pure, strong, and precious. What do you think about that? How many of y'all glad to know you're precious? And I didn't tell you that. Who told you that? I just want you to keep your head. Government will not save you. Government will not. Please say that with me. The government is not a savior. Because guess what? You put a government through fire and guess what will happen to it? Sometimes it'll be gone. Now, let's watch our individual lives. How many of y'all been building a life with wood, hay, and straw? Wood, hay, and straw. Now you put wood, hay, and straw into the fire, and what do you have on the other side of the fire? Hello? Or let me clarify that for you. Nothing. How many of y'all have been building a life that leads to nothingness? KNGF, y'all did a brilliant job, man. Y'all are great preachers. Y'all ever thought about doing that on the road and telling people about this deal? Which is, Jeff, it looked good, though, didn't it, brother? I mean, I've been there. Hey, I'm an 80s man just like you, you know. Blake Carrington, Dynasty, JR. I sat there with the early 80s criminals. Savings and loan collapse in 88, I believe it was. By what? Why did it collapse in the 80s? Greed. We got big hair, big cars, big malls, big budgets, big credit cards, big collapse. Because guess what we built our finances on? Wood, hay, and what? Straw. And when the fire came, what happened? Ashes. Now, if you build your hope in Christ, when the fire comes, you will hold up. Let me tell you why when I find my Bible. I've lost my Bible and Elizabeth's Bible today. Hold on, I'm going to find mine, Elizabeth. I'm going to give yours back. Look at here. God's working. He wants you to know this right here. That's why he's giving you your Bible back. Look at here. When you go through the fire, it'll be revealed who you really are. Because in verse 14, it says this. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. There's a consequence for living in Christ. And if it's burned up, he will suffer loss. Now, note this. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And let me ask you a question. When your life gets put through the fire, how many of y'all going to have something that you've built upon your salvation? Now, that's why good works are important. The good works of God. Be faithful.
Pray, 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 pray. What do we need to do right now? Pray. Guess what the church did in the Depression? Pray. We'll blow you away. Guess when the majority of church buildings were built in the United States of America? During the Depression. Man, when the gold collapses, God rises. We may be at the foothills of a great revival. One like we've never seen in our lifetime. Because now it's going to be about God. And it's going to be about each other. It's going to be about the important things. Look, how many of y'all found that we've really tried to worship stuff and it didn't bring its blessing? Come on, let's really be honest. How much stuff we need? Come on. I'm talking to me too. I'm a stuff guy. How many of y'all got stuff in your attic? Huh? Jeff, you and Kay testified that y'all had a bunch of stuff, designer clothes, all that stuff. Jeff, you working overtime and this and that. What did you just have to have? You remember back in those days in your youth? What did you have to have?
Everything.
Oh, I had to have the right kind of truck. Had to have it. Had to have the right kind of wheels on it. Had to have it. Here's how crazy I was. We were having our first kid, Blake. And I'm outside, I'm fixing to be a father, and I'm hooking subwoofers up in the back of my car before our child is born. You remember that? You thought I'd forgotten it, didn't you? Now, at that time, that was a great idea. But now that I look at life, I'm fixing to become a father, and I'm worried about thumping. And God gave a baby to a man like this with the hopeful wish that one day I would turn to my wife. Foundation. I did some stupid things when I was young. What's this? We had $100 a month rent and a $300 a month boat payment. Now, Elizabeth knows I'm right on this now. I tell her every Sunday, every summer we look, I said, aren't you glad when we were young we got that boat and we used it because we can't ski as much as we used to. She goes, honey, that house was real cold. I said, but remember the boat. Remember. But just how bad it was. Y'all remember, how many of y'all had waterbed? Y'all old. Well, Elizabeth and I had to have waterbed. Why did we have to have waterbed? They were cool. That's why our backs hurt today, because we slept like this for 5 years, you know. We got this waterbed, and one Sunday afternoon we try and take a nap. And the waterbed collapses. I mean, the sides flew off the side. The water mattress flies out in our little old farmhouse. The farmhouse floor goes kind of like this. And I called my dad. I said, Dad, you got any beds over there at the house? I need to come pick up a bed. You know what my dad told me? Sleep in your boat. Now, hold on before all the therapists say what a psychologically damaging experience. No, my dad was being very meaningful to me. Now, he really wanted to protect Elizabeth, but he wanted her to know the idiot that she had married and that she needed to get into some foundational principles like a house, a bed. How many of y'all leave the foundation and end up getting cursed? Hello, I'm telling you, yes. I remember any time I traded a boat, I'd always get a red and white one. Because I knew my dad would come snooping by. And it'd take him about 8 months to figure out that was a different red and white one. He'd just shake his head. Does that make sense? How many of y'all have done that? In fact, I disappointed him about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, he said, I can't believe this. I was in the backyard, and he likes all these trees and stuff. He does all that stuff. And he's in the backyard with his mother, and he said, I just looked at your mother and said, you know, I believe Stephen is finally getting some sense. And he said, no more than I get those words out of my mouth. And here he comes, cocked up on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle with a bandana on his head. Because I didn't know what he was talking about. Because he looked at my mother and he said, I take it back. It hasn't happened yet. Foundational. Make sense? Isn't it interesting? Look at here. Foundational principles lead to a lifelong blessing. We're going to wrap it up right here. Why? You are a part of God's testimony. Don't you know? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians
3:16. Let me ask you a question. Was the Word of God today pretty accurate to the week we just had? Gold, silver, precious stones. They'll go through the fire. Wood, hay, and straw will burn up. Salvation stays forever. Make sense? And so let's allow Jesus to love us. I got any questions today? Does this make sense? Now you're going to have to anchor down. You're fixing to live in a world. You already live in a world. Let me get to the truth. You already live in a world that doesn't honor Jesus. What do you think? I read an article about a public school that was praying in Islam 5 times a day, training students to pray in Islam 5 times a day, and the school board didn't do anything in that situation. Can you imagine if a Christian had their Bible out in our public schools leading people to Jesus Christ? We'd have the ACLU, the PPPU, the FFFU, the FBI, the CIA, and covert agents coming out of everywhere. You know why? They don't want you to know about Jesus. Because when you become God's temple and you really believe in Jesus Christ, there's something that happens to you. You are uncontrollable.
Now, as long as you hold to a form of religion, you're controllable.
Jesus is the only God that frees you. All the other gods, what? You submit to them, and they what? Control you. And God says, I want to dwell in you, and your life becomes an illustration of my temple. It'll stand. 2 weeks after that horrific hurricane, Katrina, I found myself on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi with indelible impressions in my mind that will not leave me until my death. I saw the devastation of what they meant by surge. The stench of death, collapse. But there was one moment that caught me on this devastated shore, and it was a Catholic parish. The structure of that Catholic parish had been devastated by the winds, the rains, and the surge of the water. But there was one thing that stood fastened, and that was the altar of that Catholic church. Because at that altar of the Catholic church always positions the altar to honor Christ. The altar is the foundation of the rest of the church. And in fact, it is anchored in below the foundation of the building. That's the foundation. On this rock, Peter, I built my church. And this was the rock. You, Jesus, you are the Christ. So guess what? If you invest in, not literally, spiritually, gold, silver, and precious gems. They're like this. Love, joy, and peace. And hold to what Christ has called you to. The more this world squeezes us, guess what's going to happen to them? The more the world squeezes on the temple, what's going to happen? The God of the temple ought to come out. So be godly. In the midst of pressure times.
Is it going to be difficult?
Yes. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be possible? Absolutely. In the name of who? Jesus. All right. Is that cool? Everybody cool? Y'all anchored to the altar? Better question, is the altar anchored to you? Do you realize today if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ that He wants to save you? Right now, the Spirit's drawing some of you to say, you know what? I need a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to open this altar. Now, church, I don't care how much time it takes.
We got to start praying at this altar.
How many of y'all are tired of watching things go to hell? Jason, you tired of watching things go to hell? You know where prayer meetings started in the Protestant church in the United States of America? Wednesday night prayer meeting. That used to be a prayer meeting. Guess when it started? World War II. And the churches would gather together, and they would gather in those Wednesday nights, and they would get in the sanctuary, and they'd take each other's hands, or they'd get on their knees, and they'd pray for an hour and a half, and they would pray for their sons and their grandsons that were at war. Well, I wonder how many churches, I know we haven't, have taken a hand and prayed for our soldiers in Iraq. Now, we're going to get a new president. Y'all agree that will be, and let me tell you something that's true. We will get a new president. True? Does it matter who it is? Not really. Because who do we follow? Jesus. So whoever's elected president, I'm going to pray for them. I pray for George Bush. Did y'all pray for George Bush? I prayed this a lot. God, help him. Help him. And I bet I'll lift that prayer up again. And you know what? There's a lot of old ladies there, okay, pray for me. And guess what they do? They go, oh, dear God, help the pastor. He needs everything you got because he's missing a lot. But I want those prayers. We got to start praying as a church. And I know.
Oh, pastor, I can pray right here in my seat.
I know. I'm theologically aware of that. But there's something about coming together. Let us gather together and pray. I don't want anybody to be lost here today. If you need to come to Jesus, our pastors are going to be at the altar, and you come and confess your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive you, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to forgive you, and you're going to have a foundation to operate out of. Now some of you are going, oh, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've drank a whole lot of beer. He knows and he loves you. You don't know where I've been. He knows and he what?
Loves you.
And he won't leave you. And that's a foundation that's unshakable. Amen? So watch this. I'm shakable. Are y'all shakable? You can shake me. I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to shake a little bit. And I'm praying to God you're going to shake the spirit out of me. But guess what? He who is in me is unshakable. My temple can be shook. My foundation can't. I mean, if I was to lose Elizabeth, I'd be shook. Because, man, I've shut down several of the, you know, foundational pillars. And I'd be tilted more than I am. But guess what? The foundation would bring me through. If I was to lose a child, man, I'd be shook. But my foundation would come through. One day when I got to say see you later to my mom and dad, I will be shook. But the foundation will come what? Through. I've already said goodbye to my 401k. And the foundation is what? Huh? You know what's so sad? I'm going to tell y'all something so sad. It just embarrassed me this week. I've seen people crying more over the money they lost than the loved ones they've lost. God help us. God help us. When we think that silver and gold is more precious than the relationships we hold, God help us. I figure it like this. We made it here this Sunday. We're together. The Spirit of God's here. Some people are going to get saved in just a minute. That's the most precious thing I know. Because you're going to go to heaven. Some of you need to come and you need to pray for healing. Some of you need to come and say, God, seal my ears. I listen to all this negative stuff and believe it. I'm going to listen to you. Now, have I been clear today? Is everything going to be easy? Answer me.
No.
You may not eat as many steaks. Oh, this will be horrible. You won't get to go to movies. Oh, I think we all starve Hollywood anyway. I'd love every one of them shut up. They think that I want to hear what they got to say. Who wants to hear what Tom Cruise has got to say? Fly your Top Gun airplane and do something you do well at. Watch this. Some of y'all just bite Tom Cruise. He's a Scientologist.
Half of those actors are into absolutely false teachings. And we just go. If you had a plastic surgeon like him, you'd look just like that too. They're not that special. It's about the foundation inside. And we got to get that real with this culture. What do you think, Dr. Cox? Has God been accurate today in this message? People need to get saved today. Jesus is the only way. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I disagree with you. No, you don't disagree with me. You do not disagree with me. You disagree with the Word of God that's been around longer than you and me and will be here long after we're gone. That's what you disagree with. If you're a big enough girl, big enough boy to disagree with the Word of God, then you'll need some good luck. And it won't be enough. And you'll end up, you better hear me, in a hell of a predicament. It'll be a lot worse than the stock market going up and down. Now let me tell you something else. Quit living by the stock market. You will be a manic depressive if you live by the stock market. You're going to be going up and down all the time. Let's go through. Isn't that the word of Scripture? God doesn't say up. God doesn't say down. He says what? Through. Wait, Ken, didn't he say through the fire? Not above it, not below it. What? Through it. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, bring us to the altar today. Some need to come today because they need to confirm their faith in baptism. Others need to come today because it is that first moment of their foundation to heaven. And we welcome them to heaven today. Some of us need to come, God, just because we've lost our place with you. But you have not lost your place with us. So God, I ask that we not find you today, but you find us today. And secure us where we doubt. And breathe hope where we doubt. Lord, I want to pray for all the children in this congregation, this service. I want to pray for the marriages, our marriages in this service. I want to pray, Lord, that we would live out our faith in difficult days. And that we hold to the Word of God. We are your temple, Lord. May your Spirit move in us. Amen. Church, please. And guess what? If you're not, we really don't have, right now we don't have any guests in our church. Because y'all been here for one whole service, all right? No guests, brother. Amen. You brother, you believer, aren't you? So guess what? You and I believe the same blood. Blood of Jesus. You die, I die, we end up in heaven together. Cool deal? So listen, I want you to pray. You don't have to be a member of the Hillview Heights Church to pray. This is everybody's altar. Because who made it? God. I believe we're going to get serious. Because, you know, here's what happens in tough times. The wood burns up, the hay burns up, and the straw burns up. Hold on. The gold purifies, the silver strengthens. And a lot of you who are precious gems, you start to bling. And if we're the temple of God, to put it in a way that we can understand it, we've been hiding the bling of God for a long time. And we've let the bling of this world replace the glory of the one to come. True? You want to see something man can't manufacture? Go out west and look at the sunset. There is a God. If you want the refreshing of the Lord, just go out in the country somewhere and see a fresh spring of water and taste a little of it. God is everywhere, amen. Well, let's stand. You come now. People are already coming. I'm glad they're coming. It's where we need to come. And just let God tell. Now, don't stand there. Come on, church. I'm calling you to pray. Don't wait till it gets bad. Let's start praying now so that we can handle a shaking in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on.